Someday about 25 years from now, when we've all grown old from a wondering how, we'll all sit down at the city dump and talk about the good old days. Oh, you'll pass a joint and I'll pass a wine, and anything good from down the line. A lot of good things went down one time back in the good old days. Yeah, the good old days are past and gone. A lot of good people are done, gone, gone. That's my life when I sing this song about back in the good old days. The times we get to thinking that we're almost done, and there ain't nothing left that we can figure out. And I guess it must have seemed a lot more like that back in the good old days. But when you gotta go, you gotta go. There's always somebody, don't you know? I hang around to saying, well, I told you so. Back in the good old days. Yeah, the good old days are past and gone. A lot of good people are done, gone, gone. Oh, that's my life when I sing this song about back in the good old days. Oh, we'll all join hands and we'll gather round when that old guitar starts to make that sound. A lot of good things went down, down, down back in the good days. We's in love with the people that we hadn't even met, out for anything that we could get. Oh, we did it then and we'll do it yet back in the good days. Yeah, the good old days are past.
That's that high lonesome sound. John Hartford going out to our man Casey Pascura. And it's a special episode of Farm Talk today. Kind of bummed that Casey isn't here for another edition, but he is living with us in spirit, and I'm honored to have some good friends here in the KDNK studio. I know him as Professor Yaya and the Reverend Hardy over there. Y'all can go by whichever names you wish.
It's good to be here with you, Cody. Thanks for having us join you. Feel the absence of Brother Casey as well right now.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here with you both. We all adored him and had the benefit of being close friends and getting to play music and learn from his wisdom. So I'm grateful we're utilizing this episode to honor him in that way and share music and stories and wisdom that we're able to carry through.
And if anyone wants to share a little story, we'll leave up open the phone line at 970-963-2976. So, yeah, here we are.
Yeah. I have kind of a funny story. I could kick it off. So, Casey bought a Tesla recently, and it had, like, the self-driving mode. And so he took me out one night, and it was the night we saw the motet at Takah, which was not too long ago. And he was like, check this out, Kat. And he put on the self-driving mode. And I had never been in a self-driving car before. This was my first experience. And it did like a left turn, you know, into traffic without a light, with nothing, like no human interference.
That sounds really scary.
I know. I was sitting there. He's like, it's fine. It's cool. I felt like he was getting so much joy, like seeing me squirming, like, ah, but it did it perfectly. And it like nailed the right time to go. And so, and it drove us, you know, to the show. And I was just like laughing so hard on the way, because I'm like, you are like the most salt of the earth man like that I've ever met. And now I'm in a self-driving car with you. Like, what is going on? And he had a lot of laughs and a lot of joy and smiles about that, about that experience.
That's great. Well, the last time that I saw KC was right here in the KD&K studio. And I don't remember, you know, we could easily fill up 28 minutes with just rambling on. I think one show we talked about carrots like almost the whole time.
Yes.
But yeah, he brought a lot of inspiration about connecting with the earth out there. And it was really fun to sync up once a month here in the studio and share that with our listeners.
Yeah, I had fun calling in and kind of pranking y'all a little bit, but with the intention of getting you both to talk about your observations of plants and your relationship with plants. It was really fun to hear that. And I remember the last episode that y'all did together, when I was in the other room kind of waiting to go on for my show, I remember him talking about how some of the precipitation patterns that we had seen recently could very well be us tipping the scale towards regeneration.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was jokingly, because he was telling me about the hydrological cycles, or how do you call it? What's the name of it? The hydro something cycles?
That's what he said.
He was teaching me. So I was calling him Rainmaker, like the past 6 months. I was joking and calling him Rainmaker.
No, he was.
But he was. Yeah. I mean, legit. Like, that's why I adored all my time with him, because I learned so much. And I talk a lot, and I would listen a lot with Casey, so I knew he was something special.
Yeah, that's true.
I can imagine. I know. The two of y'all.
I know, the two of us. It was like, oh. But he taught me how to listen, because he was so full of wisdom. But yeah, Rainmaker, he from the earth breathing and the soil being alive, that affects the water cycle in the clouds, and he was making rain for us.
Yeah. And I have a special shout out to Casey for having taken care of, looked after, mentored, and taught several students that I've helped along the way to find their way to his farm, and ended up working with him and learning so much from him. He was always so generous with his time, and his talking was was a big part of how he expressed that giving. Because he had so much to share, and partly I think that was because he had so much observations. I mean, this was like a walking human computer who was making thousands of observations every day, plugging them into his processor, whatever that was, and coming up with decisions based on that. And I've never seen a person who works so hard all the time at learning from the land, learning from those observations and integrating them into a plan of action. It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, we're sharing stories about our good friend Casey Pascura. Casey James Pascura, he was born on September 10th, 1985, and he just passed on February 2nd, just in this last month. And yeah, I guess he just would have been 40 years old.
He and I were born the same year, so we were all about our 40th birthday this year.
Aw. Do y'all remember when you first met him?
Yes. Yes. It was outside Steve's Guitars. And he had been partying a little bit, and I was hanging out with some girlfriends, and he loved to dance. I don't know if people know this about him, but he's a good dancer, a really good dancer. And he grabbed me and we started dancing. And I was like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? And then we started playing music together and hanging out. And that's one of my most favorite things is dancing with Casey. He was my dance partner. Like if we were at Mountain Fair or at concerts, the harvest party at Sunfire Ranch this fall, I think that was September 22nd. We danced. Tommy the Animal was playing there. And Casey and I were just getting down. And then a Belly Up show we went to somewhat recently. They played some hip-hop music. And Casey liked hip-hop music, too. And we were dancing to that hip-hop music. So, yeah. So my first time was him dancing with me. And then I love that that was a theme in our relationship after that.
That's really special, Kat.
Thanks. I adored him. He was my favorite person.
I remember the day I met Casey the musician. I had already known Casey the farmer for a while, but he got this beautiful guitar last year and was as part of his overall movement towards movement and getting back to his roots. And you know, he bought those drums that we got to play so many times together. But he had spent time researching this guitar to get, and I was over at Mateo's house when he had just received it, and I didn't know this about guitars, but you're supposed to like what is the term, cure them? You're supposed to cure them for a few days before you play it, and he was having to wait until it was just right and ready to play. But I remember seeing just how much stoke he had about that. But yeah, Casey the dancer was great too. That actually brings up this Masanobu Fukuoka, the Japanese rice farmer who wrote The One Straw Revolution. Casey and I like to talk about this book and this farmer's approach to farming. We had a running joke because Fukuoka had this term, which was his goal, which was do-nothing farming. And the idea was that if you put in enough time and effort and work into a farming system, you can get to a place where you're basically just kind of like watching it happen.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it's kind of a joke. Like no farmer has like nothing to do. But Fukuoka talked about if he could spend some time during the winter months, like drinking tea and writing haiku, then he will know that he has succeeded as a farmer. It actually turns out that at the 1 year anniversary of the Western Colorado Mycological Association, we had a nice party over at the Third Street Center, and there was some dancing going on, and Brother Casey was there, and he and I got into it a little bit and started doing this funky little thing that was like hardly moving at all. And I reached over to him. I was like, it's do nothing dancing. And he laughed so hard. He was the only person who could get that joke that just happened.
I love it. What about you, Cody?
I think I met Casey in 2010 or 11. That was a really fun year for a lot of us that are about that age. I just turned 42. So we were all in our 20s. A lot of us were, you know, pretty fresh to had just been living in this valley for a few years. And there was like, there was something going on with the stars with how many people were enthusiastic about land stewardship. And a lot of us idealistic young men, I remember gathering one time here at KD&K to like try to form a Carbondale Growers Guild or something where we united all of like these passionate gardeners and or fruit tree gleaners or whatever, just all in the name of, you know, bringing food and medicine to our community and being good stewards to the land. And it was funny to see all of that stuff sort of shake out and with that idealistic 20-somethings, you know, and it going a little bit of somewhere, but just being ultimately just pulled into a bunch of different directions. And I guess in the year of 2011, That's when my daughter Avi was about to be born, and a friend John Ray Gardner, who was running a little CSA up at the Sewell Ranch, asked my partner and I if we were interested in like carrying that on, and it was just one hoop house. I went up there in the spring of 2011 and met Jason Sewell and Bill McKee, and it was like, oh wow, it's such, that is such beautiful land, just yes, right under Magic. Mama Sopras, right on the Thompson Creek. And I knew, you know, it really tugged at my heartstrings, but I knew realistically, like, I couldn't live up there. We were renting a place down here and I was about to have a baby. And I told Casey, he was the first person I told, and he talked with Bill McKee, I think, first. And it was just like little baby steps, you know. He, of course, any of y'all that know Casey, he was just like really full on ready to dive into a project like that. And I don't remember like how fast, you know, it blew up, and I think he called it High Lonesome Seeds or High Lonesome Farm at first, with a little logo of like a mandolin with a little sacred.
And he had Wild Mountain Seeds.
That was later. The second? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But first he was calling it High Lonesome, you know, and he was like very, very into that sound of like the Appalachian kind of music, you know.
Virginia boy.
Yeah. He, from the very get-go of hanging out with all of these young growers, him with his Virginian accent, just like fully, you know, going in. And
us Southern people get excited.
And, you know, I saw a little like a drone video over what is now the Sunfire Ranch and Peace Seeds, and like at first it was on the Instagram where we're about to play that song from him pretty soon, but I didn't even recognize that land, seeing this shot with a rainbow over the green mountains. You know, it looked like it was in Hawaii or something. And to see all of the work that he put into that, his dream, all of the people that worked with him to make that happen, what a beautiful dream, a vision that came to life.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. This would be a good time to point out, I had not met Jason Sewell until last week at Casey's memorial. And I finally got a chance to thank him for believing in Casey. Like, what an amazing thing he did. He took a risk. You know, he had been wanting to move in that direction, as he had with John Ray, as you pointed out. But then to just give Casey the reins, I was like, wow. And he really made such a great use of that opportunity. I think he really honored it. And just want to thank Jason and all the landowners out there and the people with resources who believe in young folks who are trying to heal the land. It's a beautiful thing. We need more of that.
We definitely do, because it doesn't matter how much we preach about caring for the land and doing all of those actions, you know, if we don't have the bridge for the connection of you know,
we need the land.
Most farmers and gardeners don't have access to land. That's the cold, hard truth.
Right. And I think there's so much opportunity in this valley to convert a lot of land to regenerative farming and regenerative practices and having community involved. And that was where Casey and I's conversations went the past, you know, 6 months to a year. Because he was like, Kat, I've got the land, you've got the people, you know. And so that's what we were putting our heads together, was what does this look like? What does New Earth look like? What does land stewardship look like? What does community building around this look like? And that's the focus. And that will remain the focus in my world, is how to connect the land and the people and the practices. But to your point, Cody, we need the land. We need landowners and farmers and people like the Sewells, you know, who have set the precedent on what we can do.
And, you know, we all have to help and support each other, and not just through the physical stuff, but through the mental, the spiritual mm-hmm. challenges and, exactly. and all of that weight shouldn't have to be on one person, you know?
Totally.
And if anything, I thought Homeboy was kind of like, okay, I did a lot of stuff here. Now I'm ready to go to the tropics or something. And I just envisioned him like going other places in the world and, you know, putting down his stubborn roots, you know.
Mm-hmm. That was the impression I got. Was he was just ready for warmer,
yeah,
warmer climate.
But, you know, there's a lot of mental stressors in our lifestyle and in this valley especially.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody who's worked with healing before, whether it's healing a body or a mind or the land, can attest to the fact that it's really difficult because a lot of times you fail, you know, but it requires you to face what is not going well. And that in and of itself is very difficult to do. So I've seen in my time as an educator that teaching people about sustainability oftentimes leads to depression, leads to people feeling like, oh my goodness, there's no hope for us anymore. And that's why I just so loved hearing that song Change and mm-hmm. your story about how it was prompted by somebody who was in a doom and gloom mood
totally.
And kind of brought that onto you guys. And his answer to that was so beautiful.
Right.
Let's see if we can cue that up here.
Yeah. And for people who haven't heard, Change is a song that Casey channeled basically because we were out one evening. Some people came over to speak with us, like Yaya said, they were doom and gloom, and Casey and I's energy just was like retracting away from that. And after that person left, we were like, hold on, we cannot get anywhere if we feel that way. And by the time I got home to Glenwood, Casey had already gotten home, written the song, recorded it, and sent it to me. And I was like, whoa, brother, that is some serious wisdom. Post that.
Nice.
And so I'm so grateful that he did. And that we have this beautiful record of his musical wisdom.
Yeah, we're going to play it for you.
We can do it, y'all.
That's the end.
Much love.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, y'all. Coming here from Sunfire Ranch. Just feeling out in the ether about people kind of thinking maybe humans just shouldn't be here because we're just messing up the planet. And so I wrote this song called Change. Kind of talk about that, but anyways, here we go. There's people that think we've gone too far, too many people, too many cars. All we leave behind is scars. There is no hope for us at large, but I'm with those that think that this ain't true. We come from the earth, so let's not be blue. I'll change my patterns, why don't you? We'll regenerate the earth to something new. Now change is key. You gotta walk your beliefs, unite your differences, pick up your feet. Don't change for fear, but for peace. Now change is key. You gotta walk your beliefs, unite your differences and pick up your feet. Don't change for fear, but for peace. Now there's people that think we've gone too far. Too many people, too many cars. All we leave behind is scars. There is no hope for us at large. But I'm with those that think that this ain't true. We come from the earth, so let's not be blue. I'll change my patterns, why don't you? We'll regenerate the earth to something new. Now change is key. You gotta walk your beliefs, unite your differences and pick up your feet. Don't change for fear but for peace. You see, now I know abundance is already here. Maybe we don't see it or maybe we don't care. Fear is taking over so we don't believe. Don't let fear go and bring you to your knees. You see, now I know abundance is already here. Maybe we don't see it, or maybe we don't care. Fear is taking over, so we don't believe. Don't let that fear bring you to your knees. Yes, we'll change, change for a better day. Feeling good about our children's ways, living in Mother Nature's grace. Yes, we'll change, change for a better day. Feeling good about our children's ways, living in Mother Nature's grace. We can do it, y'all. Much love.
Much love to you, Brother Casey James.
Oh, yeah, well, now. Well, this was a guy who always had maximum stoke. I think everyone knows, and I'm probably not the only one who went to him for stoke. I mean, I need stoke.
He was my favorite ski buddy, and he's a tele skier, so he's always like dropping them knees.
Damn.
He would tell me, free your heel, Kat, free your heel.
Know that.
Yes. He was a wind foil surfer. He just went to Mexico in December and was doing that. He was amazing. He was a golfer, a soccer player.
Yeah.
He was just amazing. Everything he touched turned to gold.
Well,
thank y'all for being here today and honoring Casey Pascura. A really deep loss in our community. But we got to look up. We got to look to the future. Like Luke Nessler just left a show with, to move forward in all directions and to be inspired by his work. Yeah,
totally. And for everyone out there, the main thing Casey really wanted people to do was to have a relationship with the earth and to know who is growing your food. He really wanted people to use their money and use their buying power to help with this. So know where your food comes from. Think about that. Buy local as often as you can. The other thing is regenerative farming sequesters carbon, and that's a huge deal to him. He wants the earth to do its work, to be able to breathe and to heal. So regenerative farming is super important. And like he always looked to the earth for solutions, that's what we must do. Technology is not going to get us out of this. All those solutions are there in nature. And so we need to pay more attention and incorporate that into the way we move forward. So that's what he taught me is the main things, and that's what I want all y'all to hear as well.
Yeah, and knowing where your food comes from ain't going to come from Kroger Corporation out there in the field.
No, it ain't.
No.
Just saying.
Well, we're going to have to provide stoke for each other now.
I know, totally. I'm here for stoking.
Well, we're on the cusp here of our springtime. We still need a lot more snow in the mountains for the water, but if y'all want to, you know, see us out in the community, talk it up about how we can get together.
Come to Dandelion Day. Let's all get together there, and
we can help each other on each other's land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big time. Well, thank you, Casey, for all you taught us. And damn it, now we got to do it ourselves.
Right. He left a big old fat legacy, and it's in the seeds. The seeds are important.
And our dear friend Adam Ting is still putting a lot of his energy up into the Sunfire Ranch up there.
And Justin as well.
Yes, and Justin. We just talked to Adam today. He's up in Oregon. And he's going to go to a seed conference in Corvallis. And thanks to all that y'all do, Justin and Adam, to keep it on going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned for whatever happens on the next Farm Talk, the last Monday of March. But, you know, we're going to keep it going. So,
good. One love, everybody.
Yes, get out there and plant something.
Plant yourself. Ground yourself. Be here now.
Nice.
All right, we're going to go out with a little bit of bird sounds until the next program that will hopefully inspire more about farming.